is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Women face a unique set of challenges because of the hormonal changes throughout the reproductive cycle, ranging from mood and anxiety disorders to postpartum depression. Though these conditions are very common, help is not always available. To better address the issues, the Women's Center at the UC Health, located at Westchester Hospital, now offers behavioral health and psychiatry services tailored to address women's unique needs. We're joined today by two UC doctors who are meeting these challenges in a specialized way. Associate Professor of Clinical Psychiatry in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neuroscience at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine is Dr. Jyoti Sachdeva, and the Associate Professor in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology and Vice Chair of Education at the College of Medicine, Dr. Amy Thompson. If you'd like to join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. And welcome to Cincinnati Edition. Thank you very much for being here. So this sounds like a new venture, at least in our area. And I would think that it's important in this kind of new venture that the communications between various groups, both patients and doctors, providers, is really important. So what are you doing? And we'll begin with you, Dr. Sachdeva. What are you doing to help OBGYNs in the area recognize that they should be paying attention to these mental health, behavioral health issues, and maybe helping their patients, referring their patients?
Well, I want to start by saying that perinatal depression, which is depression in pregnancy and postpartum, is extremely common and can have far-reaching consequences for the mother, baby, and the whole family. And generally, OB doctors are the first-line providers who tend to catch these problems because they are the ones treating the pregnant or the postpartum patients. So it is extremely important that we have a collaborative relationship. And at the Women's Center, it has become easy for us to have that collaborative relationship with the obstetricians at University of Cincinnati because we're all housed together in the Women's Center. And pregnancy is a great time to engage women in services that they would not maybe choose to engage in otherwise. So it's working out really well.
Dr. Thompson, have OBGYNs been attuned to these questions, or is this sort of a new set of questions for them that you're needing to make them aware of, or is it just a matter of making sure they know who to talk to?
I think it's the latter. I think it's making sure that folks know who to talk to, because our patients know who to talk to. We are fortunate in a pregnancy with our patients because we've been seeing them. We see them for so many months, so many visits, and there's just an amazing rapport building opportunity for patients to sometimes talk about things that have been troubling them, but they may have not felt a good venue or, you know, had a good person they can speak with about these problems. And so when patients do bring these things up, you know, we can help them find good resources like Dr. Sachdeva's program within UC. However, we do have as OB-GYNs some good guidance where all women, when they start a pregnancy, really should have an inventory taken about their overall health, including their mental health. And so there are some wonderful quick questionnaires that patients can do in waiting rooms or, you know, while they're waiting to see the physician. And so in that way, we approach all patients with this potential lens of this could be a patient with a problem with their mental health. So we can bring it to the forefront because it is so essential that we address it in that pregnancy for her health and her child's health.
Dr. Sachdeva, you mentioned before that issues of stress, anxiety, depression can have real impact for both the mother and the child. What are those? What kind of implications are we talking about here?
So, yes, Dan, untreated pregnancy, depression or anxiety in pregnancy or postpartum can have several complications, both in the obstetric area as well as the mental health piece of it. So as far as the pregnancy, there's the risk of poor prenatal care, the woman, the pregnant woman reaching out to drugs or alcohol to treat her depression or anxiety.
Sort of self-treatment.
Self-medication. Mm-hmm. Also, there is risk of obstetric complications with increased stress, such as preterm labor, intrauterine growth retardation, low birth weight baby. And again, there's also harmful effects on the developing nervous system of the baby with the mother being stressed. Again, when we get to the postpartum phase, a depressed mother cannot be as responsive to the baby's needs, and that takes the form of cognitive and developmental problems for the infant. So there can be far-reaching consequences. It's even language development in the baby and such.
I'm thinking about, I've seen several references in articles that I've read that these sorts of issues of stress, anxiety, depression may be a factor in the higher incidence of birth problems, some of the things that you, low birth weight, all those things that you were mentioning, especially in the African-American community where the stress around racism in this society can maybe be one of the indicators that or one of the influences of why those things are happening. What do you think about that, Dr. Thompson?
It's interesting. It's hard to unpack all of that. But there are so many factors that contribute to so many environmental factors at play, the relationships we form, and many members of the African-American community have immensely strong relationships. But I don't, and just like within other groups in our world, but not everyone is so lucky. And so how do we sort of figure out, you know, what's the causality here? I think we just need to look at everyone sort of as an individual. And that's what I try to do when I go into the room and sort of as a provider and sort of see what factors in their world contribute to them as a person. And we try to, you know, touch on those when we have time in our visits so we can see, because it's really hard because we have these big societal concerns, but how do we take that society issues down to that individual level when you're with that one person in that room as a provider, and how do we make an impact? And so at UC, we have, really in our OB department, you know, we have really good programs where, you know, everyone has sort of a guide who's a nurse who follows them and reaches out to them and sort of helps, you know, to calls them and make sure they're coming to their appointment. So we're trying to provide that relational role with that patient so they feel that connection with our clinic to kind of keep them to come to their appointments. And when they don't show up, we try to figure out what it is. Or maybe that office day doesn't work for you. And so we have some folks who are not really, they're not physicians, but they are such key providers with our, in our program to help to no matter, you know, where you are in your life in this, in society and what groups you are in that, that we're trying to maybe make up for some of those differences.
In the case of a patient who is thinking about becoming pregnant or maybe discovers that they are pregnant and has been on a prescription dose of antidepressants or whatever the particular drug course they're on, what's the options when they come in and see you and begin to talk about, I'm going to become, we're going to try to become pregnant, and or I am pregnant, just found out, what should I do about this? What's the situation for a person who's already on a course of antidepressants?
This is such an important question, Dan. And I get this question almost every day. So the big message that I want to relay here today is that wanting to get pregnant or being pregnant does not automatically mean that you have to get off your medications. There are several safe medications and then several safe ways that we can treat depression and anxiety in pregnancy. There is no clear yes or no answer. It's a very case-by-case basis. When we make a decision on continuing or discontinuing medication in pregnancy, the preconception, or postpartum, there's several factors that I take into consideration. And this is a decision we make in collaboration with the patient and the significant other. So, but it's important that patients don't automatically just stop their medicines. Whenever they discover pregnancy or consider pregnancy, it's important they reach out to their physician first and discuss that decision with them without discontinuing their medications on their own.
If a person needs to be on a particular prescription drug, there can be a real danger, I would suspect, in not treating during pregnancy. Is that a factor as well, Dr. Thompson?
It is. And so, and I see this quite commonly in my practice. So when a patient comes in and they're already on a medication, I ask like how long they've been on the medication, what prompted them to start the medication, what are the other aspects of their life? Again, looking back to them as a whole person, like what's their support structure? What's going on? What are the stress factors in their life, and have those changed at all? You know, as we're thinking about, like, is this something you could try to go off of? Or if really they have, really experiencing still some major depressive episodes or major anxiety episodes, or maybe it's a even more complex mental health issue than maybe it's schizophrenia or something, those issues, then we, would say you probably should just continue your medication and then look at the medication, or maybe there's an alternative medication. But we want to see like how they've responded to other drugs in the past. And again, at that point, there's significant collaboration with Dr. Sachdeva. And, some patients come in and they have a psychiatrist. And in that situation, it's really a team approach to taking care of the patient. In this situation, I have, several patients where their team, their therapist, their psychiatrist, and we all have each other's cell phone numbers. And so almost at every visit, we are checking in with one another about how things are going, especially in times when the pregnancy is having some more high-stress moments.
Which is one of the values of having created the Women's Center.
Yes.
So that there's people of different disciplines actually working together. We had a question come in, and one of the questions is, it's sort of the opposite of what we were just talking about. What's the danger for someone who is thinking about getting pregnant or has discovered that they're pregnant of not raising this with their doctors and just going off their medication on their own without really consulting with the doctors? Dr. Thompson, you want to?
Well, I think the danger would be, I'm thinking of this from a physician perspective, because that's my role here in this relationship with a patient. I think the danger would be, what is the patient? Why aren't they comfortable? Is there a reason why they're just not comfortable sharing it with stopping with the doc that they're seeing? Or, is there the possibility that they could feel kind of more isolated? And then what if their symptoms sort of spiral and they have, a resurgence of the symptoms that prompted the medication to be started in the first place? And so then I don't want them to feel more alone and isolated, because that's not a good feeling. That's not a good place to be in, when you are struggling with depression and mental health or anxiety. And so that's my fear, I think, just initially when I hear that question.
I agree, Dr. Thompson. Yeah. I think there's a big risk in not discussing this with their physician and discontinuing mental health medications, because depending on their individual history, this could mean relapse of their mental health symptoms, which could be severe enough to jeopardize their safety and their baby's safety. So it is really important to not make that decision on their own.
Right. And as a provider, I want my patients to tell me when they want to do something like that. So we can both go into this time period with our eyes open so that if they do have a relapse, then I'm like, okay, well, that's our plan if for whatever happens to you. If you do great, that's fine. This was an awesome decision, and I'm so glad you felt empowered after I talked to you about it to tell me that, because that's going to strengthen our relationship. But if you don't do well, if this was maybe a wrong choice that we made together as a team taking care of you for this pregnancy, then I want to know what our plan is in that moment and have that plan laid out.
What is the impact of the sorts of drugs that we're talking about here, prescription drugs that we're talking about, on the fetus, on the growing fetus? How much of that? And this doesn't just mean drugs that are related to stress or antidepressant or whatever. How do drugs get passed or not passed to the fetus?
So when treating women in pregnancy, we base safety of each individual drug on several factors. And of course, it varies from drug to drug. So first of all, we have to look at what is the if there is any risk of teratogenicity, which is like risk of physical deformities to the baby, then is there any risk or any impact on the labor and delivery process itself? Is there any impact on the infant when they're born as in terms of any toxicity or withdrawal from the drug? So we have to look at all of those kinds of things, and it's not a generic answer for all drugs. It varies from drug to drug. And as far as our main antidepressant class that we use in pregnancy, they've been studied extensively in pregnancy and postpartum populations, and they have not been shown to increase the risk of teratogenicity from the baseline risk, which is like 2 to 4% in general populations. So there is no further increase from that. So they're generally considered safe in terms of use in pregnant women.
Would there be some effort to use non-drug therapies, exercise, meditation, yoga? I don't know, but is that something that you would actively recommend for some of your patients anyway?
That is definitely an option. We do have several non-invasive therapies available, such as light therapy, of course, exercise, yoga, meditation, and of course, psychotherapy itself, which is the talk therapy in form of individual or group psychotherapy. All of them are available. So the decision about which route to take, whether a non-invasive therapy or medications or a combination of both, is indicated. It depends upon the individual case, about the severity of that case, about the severity of symptoms at the time of presentation, and the severity of symptoms in the past. So the decision is very individualized and case to case. But yes, definitely non-drug therapies are available.
So you do use group therapy. That was one of the questions that sort of emerged as we were talking about this. That is something that you find helpful and that people who are in the same situation can support each other?
Right. There's a lot of information coming out of different support groups and how, I mean, we even have a model at UC and other hospitals here have a model for a group prenatal care. And so that becomes a group of patients, not just those who have mental illness, but they're just pregnant together. And so they are a cohort of women who are progressing and called centering pregnancy. And it's amazing. But, you know, group therapy doesn't work for everyone. And you have to get some buy-in, I think, from the patients. So Dr. Sachdeva can probably talk more about that.
So I do want to let our listeners know that we actually do have that option available at the UC Women's Center. We now have what we call a perinatal psychotherapy group, which is run by my colleague, Dr. Jen Ferry. And that is an option for women who cannot take medications or don't want to take medications, or also for women who are on medications but have severe enough symptoms to warrant augmentation with group psychotherapy. And this is for our pregnant and postpartum women with mood and anxiety disorders during this time. So we do have that option available.
What are the problems that, and you've used the term many, many times here, postpartum. So this is after the birth. What are some of the typical problems that emerge at that period in this total process that we've been talking about?
Yes, the postpartum period is an amazing time of adjustment for the mom, the family, and there's different terms that are used in terms of the mood of a mom, a new mom. So postpartum blues, very common. Women talk about this. It's you'll be in your bedroom and you'll just be crying for no reason. It's not that you're sad. Maybe you heard a sad song on the radio or something, or there's these moments of definite sadness, but it usually only lasts a couple of days. It doesn't necessarily affect a patient's ability or mom's ability to do the things they need to do. They're still able to still find joy in things and seeing their babies, bringing their baby home and things like that. But then if that continues on, more than a week, 2 weeks, then that's concerning for postpartum depression. So what's happening physiologically postpartum is a mom is oftentimes recovering from her delivery. Sometimes that delivery could have been traumatic. I always joke when I'm teaching that, you may be a man, but you had a birth plan. I mean, you have a plan, you have a birth story even, because it was how you were born. And so we plan how our babies, we want them to be born. And so if our birth plans, if our birth story, when we give birth to our children, if they don't go the way we anticipate them to do, then that can be a sense of anxiety. We are huge proponents now of breastfeeding. Breastfeeding is very challenging, and sometimes the breastfeeding isn't going as well as we want it to, and we can't sometimes explain why it's not going well. In spite of a mom giving it her all and trying really hard, it still may be where she has a supply issue or the baby's just crying more. So all of these factors add to that stress in these intense moments of medical transition, emotional transition, all for this wonderful experience of your family's growth, but it's quite challenging and tumultuous.
And I know with breastfeeding, there's now a lot of lactation coaches. There's a lot of support for people who want to breastfeed, and yet still there can be challenges there. And does the Women's Center have a specific focus on that? Is that something you can help with?
Yes. So at both all of our hospitals and many hospitals here in the city, we do have their in-house lactation consultants. The Women's Center actually also has this program when we think about group therapy called a baby cafe. So you can bring your baby and with other nursing moms, it's a shared experience where you can talk about how things are going. And usually it is attended by a lactation consultant. So we do have some group activities, but we also have in-hospital lactation, office lactation consultants available, and our nurses and physicians are all trained as well to support with lactation.
But that is such an important area to address in the postpartum woman, because I do see many cases of depression that kind of stem from this failure of the lactation process. Mothers carry a huge guilt when this does not go as planned. And they need a lot of support around it. So I'm so glad we have these resources.
Okay. We've been talking about all the challenges that can be there. For a lot of people, pregnancy, I don't know if delivery, but having the newborn baby can really be a sense of a lot of joy too. So is there sort of a natural cycle that could offset a person who even has had a history of anxiety or depression, that this can actually turn into a high for them in a positive sense?
So if for women who have a history of depression or anxiety, they definitely are at higher risk of depression or anxiety in pregnancy and postpartum, but it is not a given. It is not always, it is not 100% that they have to get this. If they're well supported, they can go through pregnancy and postpartum uneventfully and enjoy this as they should.
Right. And I have patients who, in spite of anxiety going into a pregnancy, they may have mental health issues. But, if we can get through that, with a good approach and a plan and, being responsive to her needs, the patient's needs, and then you're absolutely right. This can be a a time of just such great joy, to the point where patients sign up and they want to do it again. They start planning the next pregnancy, and they're looking forward to that because their outcomes have been so amazingly great.
Well, this is great work that you're doing, and I'm really glad that you've been able to join us today. I know there's a lot of other things that you're involved with and hope you can come back at some point. But thank you very much, and thank you for the work that you're doing out
at
the Westchester
Hospital. Thank you for having us. Yes, thank you, Dan.
So I want to thank both our guests, Dr. Jody Sachdeva and Dr. Amy Thompson. Other challenges exist that we did not have time to explore, but maybe they can come back. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.